Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians, where we are going to resume our study there and looking at this book and how the gospel is seen in this book and what Paul talks about there to these Galatians. We began there in Galatians chapter 3 last week, last Sunday morning. I had all intentions of finishing that Sunday evening. But that didn't happen. I was not able to be here Sunday evening last week. And again, appreciate Tim stepping in there for the announcements and Nathan on both of them so short notice to fill in my absence. But we'll continue here in Galatians chapter 3. It says Paul has introduced here the gospel of promise. Talks to these Galatians of the promises that were revealed and given to the Jews. You are now partakers of this promise. And he introduces there the first part of that chapter there. And then he continues on there and talks of how the instruction of how to live up to this promise or live in this promise. And how the promise is there, but the promise is also conditional. And he gives them instructions. See here, continuing on, is these are the instructions, these are the conditions you must meet to receive that promise. God opens and gives the promise to all. And a promise still today, the promise is for all, the promise of eternal life, the promise of a home in heaven. That promise is open to all still today. But there's conditions that Paul was relating to these Galatians is still conditional today. The very same conditions. It says there in verse 2 of Galatians there. It says faith. And we talk about here as well that faith is involved in this here. It says verse 2. This only would I learn from you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. This is how we learn of the promise. By the hearing of faith. God uses His Word to draw people to Him. That's the intent of one of the intents or purposes of the Word. Is that people, for people to study it, for people to hear it, for people to draw closer to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 4. Whereunto He called you through, verse 14 rather, whether He called you unto through our gospel, through the Word. Jesus called. God calls us through this Word, through this gospel. Coming to God and faith in God is not a feeling. It is not a miraculous operation upon one's soul or one's heart. You've heard it described by denominations in time past and from pulpits that you have heard other preachers saying that it's not a warm, fuzzy feeling that comes over you when you're saved or when we have faith. It's not that warm, fuzzy feeling that way that comes through us. It comes through the Word. Paul tells the Romans those very words. Faith, or belief, cometh by hearing and hearing the Word. That's how we come to know faith. But that's also how we come to develop our faith. And that's how our faith is strengthened. That's how our strength is built up. That's how we become stronger. We hear and hear. And we listen and we listen and we understand and we understand. All of that encompasses there what Paul's telling the Romans to hear. We are to listen. We can't, if we took literally what Paul tells the Romans there and just hear, and we don't apply anything else to it, and understanding and listening and paying attention and studying, we don't put those in the equation. We just take hear. Our faith is never going to be built up. Our faith is never going to be stronger. We are to listen. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. It's Luke's account there of the parable of the sower. He says, others fell on good ground and grew. and brought forth fruit 100-fold. As he said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Those who receive the word, those who have an intent on building up their faith or having faith, these are the good ground. And when that faith is built up by hearing and hearing and listening and listening, understanding and understanding, it brings forth fruit. But we must take heed, as Luke says later on in that same chapter there, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. How do you hear the word? Do you hear the word with the intent of not doing anything with it? Do we hear the word with the intent of our preconceived notions that we have already about it? Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Plays an extremely important role in our faith, and our faith being produced and developed and strengthened. We must look at the scriptures with the intent of understanding it, and the intent of knowing it, and the intent of, by doing so, drawing closer to God. Paul's telling the Galatians here, take heed therefore how you hear. How you hear the word, and how you learn of this promise, and come to know this promise and understand this promise, is how you intend on hearing it and receiving it. This law he talks about in this chapter. It says this law, towards the end of the chapter, verse 24, he says this law here leads you to Christ. Of the old law, verse 24, so that the law is become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Types of prophecies and shadows all fulfilled in Christ. All the things that the Old Testament talk about in Christ are coming to be fulfilled here, as Paul is conveying this to the Galatians. All these things are coming to be fulfilled that the old law talks about in regards to Christ. He says they're a teacher. They're to bring you to Christ. When we learn something, or when somebody teaches us something, is to take us to know something else, to understand something else. What the old law does is teaches us of Christ, brings us to Him. Of His sacrifice, John chapter 1 and verse 29. John says here, "Behold, the latter part of that, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world." As time goes on here, and as Paul is writing to these Galatians, see, these things have happened. These things are fulfilled. These things are done, just as God said they would be. This promise that he's referring to here, we talked about last week, is based on the promises given to Moses. And that these promises here, that all nations in his seed and through him would be blessed. John says later in John chapter 3, verse 14, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God, man, be lifted up. Where was that talked about? You remember that story there? The children of Israel sinned against God, and Moses was told to make this serpent, and whoever was bitten by these serpents here that God sent, whoever looked upon this serpent here that Moses made, they would not die. Moses lifted up that serpent. The people were saved by them gazing upon that serpent that he made. save them from death. Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. See the teaching there? See the reference there from the Old Testament here to the New Testament here? The Son of Man lifted up on the cross of Calvary. Why? To save men from death. From that second death. Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. That we just talked about there. The sacrifice of the Son of God. And the types and the shadows and the prophecies fulfilled in Christ. The people in Acts chapter 3 in verse 22. Moses indeed said, "A prophet shall the Lord raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. To him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you." And it's similar to what Jesus said. As we're studying there in Matthew 27, or God said in Matthew 17, the transfiguration, "Hear ye him." And he, the Hebrew writer, talks of there in verses 1, 2. That God spoke to his people in various ways and various manners. But here, Moses says there's going to come a time when you're going to hear this other prophet that is raised up from among you. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, beginning there, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of God Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham divided a tenth of all, being first, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having never beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." This priest, after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus. This priest who did not have a beginning, who does not have an end. This is the one. This is the one who is fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19. "According that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he did also in a figure receive him back." These people, these prophets talking and speaking of something greater. Speaking of one greater than themselves. Of Jesus. One who is God. Raised up from the dead. The prophecies concerning him. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel." Seven hundred fifty years approximately before that took place. Before Matthew writes of those things. A virgin conceived, bare a son, and his name was called Emmanuel. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the very first reference in the Bible to Jesus. After Adam and Eve had said sinned and been cast out of the Garden of Eden, he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus conquered Satan. Conquered him in death and be raised from that grave. thousands of years before Moses wrote of these things. And they came to pass, just as God had said. Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Of Jesus predicting or talking of the suffering that Jesus would endure. He was oppressed, but yet when he's the afflicted, he opened not his mouth. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that before its shear is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? He came to fulfill what was written about him. And we need to understand the Old Testament to appreciate the New Testament. We need to see these things, because we will have a better understanding of the New Testament and the things that are contained within it if we understand the Old Testament. He fulfilled what was written of him. In baptism, we clothe ourselves in Christ. Verse 27 of Galatians 3. We put on Christ. In baptism, we put on him. We take on the characteristics of Christ. Baptism is not an outward sign of an inward grace. We are not already clothed with Christ. But in baptism and through baptism, we become clothed in Christ and with Christ. The saving work in baptism is performed by God. And our faith in the promise of God. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. In whom ye were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. In the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. We submit to his will, and he clothes us with Christ. It is our faith that leads us to baptism. It is our faith that from the promise of God that we will receive forgiveness of our sins. And through our faith and through our baptism, we are clothed with Christ, raised up a new man. This is the instructions that Paul gives to these Galatians that they must heed to. The instructions that we must heed to as well to receive the promise of God. But he also gives them a warning. Do not let anyone betwitch you, he says. Verse 1, Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who did betwitch you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth, crucified? Verse 3, he asks them, he says, are you foolish, having begun in the Spirit and are now perfected in the flesh? They had been deceived. And he talks about and addresses this with them in the first chapter. Where he says, I marvel at how quickly you receive from the gospel which you heard from us. And yet you receive another gospel. They were being deceived. Turn to follow another gospel. They knew the truth. Paul spoke to them of the truth. But yet, they were foolish in receiving this other truth. They did not lack the knowledge to understand the truth. They did not lack the knowledge to understand what Paul had preached them, but they were foolish, so they rejected it. Remember the warning of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." These Galatians were heading in that direction to be destroyed. Because they rejected what they already knew to be truth. He says, do you think here, he asked them, do you think that you can be perfected in the flesh? Do you think you can be perfect in the flesh? What's our answer to that? What's our answer to that question? Do we think we can be perfect in the flesh? What does Paul mean here? What does God mean? Apart from Christ. He's meaning here. Turn over with me to the fifth chapter of Galatians. Verse 16, beginning there, says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to another, that ye may do the things that you would." Verse 24, "And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof." The old man, says somebody, has died. The flesh. We've given up the life of living a life under the flesh. And we live a life in faith to God. Okay, we think in ourselves that we can make ourselves perfect in the flesh. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, "The God of all grace, who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ, after that ye have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, establish, strengthen you." Only Christ can perfect us, perfect you. Perfect me. I cannot do that myself. Only Christ can establish and strengthen us. So these Galatians didn't fully understand. Here is why Paul is asking them. Do you think you can be perfected in the flesh? Can you do this? Only Christ can perfect us. One of those things that we now understand that without Him, we can do nothing. We cannot make ourselves perfect. We cannot perfect ourselves. But only Christ and in Christ can do that. He then tells these Galatians here, do not become shut up under sin. Verse 22. Galatians 3. "But the scriptures shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Don't become shut up under sin. We all have all sinned. Romans 3 and verse 23. We have all sinned. We cannot change that. We can't change the fact that we are human and we will never sin. If we have obeyed the gospel, we have repented, and we have been forgiven of those sins. Do not, Paul says here, telling them, do not go back to sin.
Do not become a slave to sin. They were headed in that way, by the way he begins this chapter, begins this letter. That they were falling back. They knew the truth. And it wasn't a slow progression that they were taking towards sin. Paul says that I marvel that you are so quickly. They were quickly removing themselves from the truth. Paul's warning them, don't do that. Don't go under that umbrella of sin again. Don't become entangled again by sin. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 2, as Peter talks about there, the first and the last state, Jesus talks about this as well. He compares what one was before they obeyed the gospel. And one who obeys the gospel and then falls back into sin. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. The last condition, one who falls back into sin, removes himself from following God and goes back into a state of sin. Peter says here, and Jesus says, that condition is worse because you have known the truth. You have come to a knowledge of the truth. You have obeyed the truth. And for a time, you have walked by the truth. That's what makes it worse than the first time, than the first. Because we know better. We know what God expects of us. We know. That Christ is living in us. That we've rejected. Allowing Christ to live in us. That we fall back into sin. This is the warning that Paul gives these Galatians here. The announcement that he has to these Galatians of the promise of God and the instruction that he gives to them of how to receive that promise and the conditions for us to meet, to receive, to have that promise. And the warning that he gives of departing the faith and walking in the world, walking in the flesh. The same warning, same announcement, the same instruction is for you and me. How many people do we know? How many once faithful churches of Christ have we known through the years that we could say, I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you and the grace of Christ.
I don't know what the time frame was here exactly when Paul established these churches through his journeys to where he's writing this letter. But I believe it probably holds into the same time frame as when he writes the Ephesian letter and when the church in Ephesus was established. The church in Ephesus was established roughly around 65 AD. And John writes Revelation in approximately 95, 96. And Ephesus being one of the seven churches of Asia that John talks about there. And the church at Ephesus there, it had been rebuked. And that they had lost their first love. Is using those dates for illustrative purposes, roughly 30 years that the church in Ephesus had lost their first love. How many people, how many churches, once faithful churches, have lost their first love that we know? Heed the warnings here of Paul. They still apply very much so today. The promises of God are true. The promise we have in Christ is a home in heaven for all eternity. But the promises we have noted out and have brought out is conditional. We must believe. We must be baptized. We must remain faithful to receive the promise. The promise is yours. The promise is ours. The question becomes then, are we going to act on our faith to receive this promise? God places the conditions. We don't. I don't. The church here does not. God has placed those conditions to come to Him to receive the promise. Won't you this morning? If you have not yet put on Christ in baptism, won't you this morning come to Him? Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Put on Christ in baptism. If you've done so once already in your life, but you have not remained faithful, you didn't heed the warnings by God, you have wandered back into a world or life of sin. The promise of God still holds true to you. But you have lost sight of it. You have lost it on account of yourself and your sin. Repent of that sin. Come to God. Pray to God. Ask for His forgiveness. We implore you. We plead with you to come to Him before it is eternally too late. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?